on schedule this morning. Better, we'll have another crack on Friday on all your items, but I want you to know I consider you a resident, and I appreciate your work. Glad you were there. Yeah, we had a thing, but on this tenant, we will try to do what's right.
Well, we have to live with it.
Well, I'm not as optimistic as all of you, all of it. It's gonna be the main center here in town, guys, and for that, you can get over here, thanks for you. I think it's taken. Don't have any speculation here.
Well, let me just picture it, tell you.
So we're gonna have a business.
There's a lot of knowledge, yeah.
Well, they're out, I had an opportunity to read your memorandum. I was grateful for all the time you spent in the church and so forth. You know, this is a church that's all subject to trying to approach it from a rational reason to it. You analyze it, play it right on the line, and very effectively.
How did you prepare? Did you all meet together under the score of employee assignment?
Did you just basis of the Masero? And also, did you reach out and get views of others outside of government, or just basically your views, as I understand?
First of all, we did the 2 or 3 minutes. First, we have negative positions on 5 of us, 5, and 4 of 5 will clearly state Landon. So that's why I'm 4 of 7 first. And we had, first, the opportunity to meet with the general administration, and then secondly, that we discussed the committee. And we've not had any previous meetings among ourselves. Prior to those meetings, following that same stroke, we had a meeting of our group. And we had about 35, 40 members socially and good purpose and travel.
With national government folks.
All government officials, all people that are people that are making announcements that met Tuesday night, a week ago. And we discussed it. The subject for about 3 hours to get a consensus of views. And then following that, the group then asked to pull in people who had some additional expertise, and the statement then reflects the views of 27 of us that were at the meeting. Then we pulled in 2 or 3 people, Bob Wheeler from Secretaries and from your associate commissioner of education for the Title I programs, it was very helpful in the quality of education section of the report. And we did talk individually with some outside educators.
Well, I did, but I suppose anyway, you would naturally, just we all, you're always curious from outside people, so you represent a sort of your feel of your best judgment of the problem, right?
Yes, Mr. President. I want to stress that we don't consider ourselves to be authorities on quality education.
We don't either.
I think that relies more than anything else, one recommendation to press to the recommendation that we made to you specifically.
The budget commission.
So we do that not only do we afford opportunity to move it off of the front page of the presidential election year, which of course comes after that, although, but it also, I think that something, the more we got into it, the more clear it came to us that that kind of high-level attention, very careful attention for a year, was called. Because the whole concept of what a neighborhood school is today, was, we had the kind of shift in the population that we've had over the last 15 years in America, as you recall from the president's report that you made for Congress, and that's a growth that we highlighted, those kind of shifts. It is kind of a fluid situation, a far more mobile society, and we need to develop a more rational definition for what a neighborhood school is today. And I don't think that in a few days that the lawyers and those of us who are state and government can come up with those kind of suggestions for you. And the whole question of busing, not as it relates to segregation, Mr. President, but as you know, the bulk of people who are busing are excluded. They are not busing for they're involved in the segregation. Rather, I think we all read the process. So
I live in a rural
Why? I recall when I was working very closely with the Kansas legislature in the 50s and 60s, the major issue for the legislature was consolidation of schools in rural areas and small towns. And while I think that we probably need some national standards or suggestions, but nobody has too many miles or too many hours to go to school.
Do you have that in your recommendation that no transportation would result in basically overstates transportation and result in inferior education should be avoided?
That's right. Transportation,
in other words, it's really the balance there.
Well, we didn't want to look at that question as how do you get at that. Well, we think that the way not to get at it, President, is to limit the discussion of busing to desegregation of schools. First, it's misleading because it gives the impression that the largest incident of busing relates to desegregation of schools, but that is not correct. And secondly, it's because it prevents the kind of public information that occurs in the just to the area of segregation.
So I think that's a good way to make George is to right at the outset that we've got to understand that when we talk about the problem of transportation, the problem of transportation is one that is related to education and segregation. Because if we do that, then we can tend to be used the issue to an extent. It won't go. The difficulty you have here, I mean, is that most everybody, when I say most everybody, the extremists, I can call them like Wallace, Johnson, the other Johnson. The extremists inevitably equate busing with race. We got to get busing away from race. It must not just be that we realize it's pursued.
I didn't read Bryce's draft character. Does he make that distinction clearly in the first draft?
If he doesn't, we talk to him. If you see what I'm getting at, is that should be high up. So you begin with that. So you get the whole thing in a context of just what we just said. Now, we're talking about busing and segregation. Now, then we have to address that. So that's what we're going to do. But that's heading in a proper context. It's the East Friday. Because I know Ray understands it, but I just want to be sure. Okay. I would think, and also, could I suggest this? Be sure he is the deceased in the draft that Jackson has.
I would also say, Mr. President, that it's extremely important that we broaden the visibility of those who participate with you in the decision-making process here. Specifically, the Kevin Dominion School Association that you have had operating over the years made a real big contribution. Much of its work was lost, especially the good part of it was lost in the Black community because there was no reliability of any kind of with it, so you haven't gotten the benefits, the credit that you're entitled to from some very fine work that was done, because none of it, while I recognize it, because of its very makeup, that
which you and I have an opportunity to have in regard to the membership of the commission. Certainly, the committee, certainly, if I could have the staff, some opportunities to put some.
You have no staff representation.
Well, we have had that.
Remember, I just, well, I hear, when we talk about our, I mean, all of our groups from the various states, we're right out with every one of them.
We're there, roughly, people, right?
On our regular full-time staff, we had Frank Williams, very recently, a very good job.
I think that's a good suggestion.
Best answer, but from Bob, it's Yachu, but I had to write it to her.
It's part of our disability, deals part of it, right?
Right, but the concrete one, I think, should be on.
Yeah, I think, but just so it's, there's basically tokens, it's a little balance there, too.
I understand.
I would also, Mr. President, want to stress a couple of other recommendations. I think that, as you well know, the school system alone cannot bear the brunt of attempting to deal with the issue of busing and quality education. I would especially, therefore, want to call attention to our recommendations, 3, 4, and 5, that are designed to find, to put the whole accountable public official at the state local level who operate those programs or who have an opportunity to participate in operating programs that can provide alleviation from the school system attempting to resolve this problem alone.
And that is where you came in with the housing.
Housing, right.
Jobs.
Jobs. And then the quality education part itself. So it just seems to me that, to us, that so long as we give the impression to the public that we are looking to the school system alone to resolve the system, just don't have enough remedy available to them to solve these problems. And it seems to me that pitched by you, it could lead to major injury provided by others who can share and should share some responsibilities. The whole question, for instance, of the environment in which most black children are educated in the central city. The perception of both parents and indeed of successful black parents who are concerned about the safety of their children and so forth, that is not a problem with the school system, Mr. President, you alone. That's the problem of whether or not there is adequate feeling of police protection,
right.
Adequate feeling that efforts are being made to upgrade schools that are located. And then Frager School is likely to be the product of several social ills, and not just what happens inside the classroom itself. And I think that an opportunity to say this, and then
Forrest said, I don't know, you strongly support the idea of creating the rural schools too, as well as the guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Some of missed that point, because I had with a group of congressmen and senators, and I'm not from the rural state. What's your challenge? Well, fuck the rural schools, you just don't talk about the ghetto schools. And he's absolutely right, of course. And that's a tough one, because some of those rural schools, even, well, this is just why I'm watching this game. It's out in the west, and so forth, which is approaching a low amount of, as you well know, for students. I always, for example, 10 years ago, $800 a year.
Well, we say, Mr. President, here that such a call would recognize minority of children are not the only victims of ineffective teaching and functioning of our schools. So long as the general public thinks of quality education, again, just in terms of something more for black students, I think that we can.
I have the one subject, the one question. Do I understand that quality education is a code word? Is that bad?
If it is, I need to know.
Is that what you all?
Quality education in an integrated setting. I think that's very important. One of the important things is not just the quality of education as it relates to the infusion of massive amounts of federal money. I think the biggest thing that's wrong with the educational system in the United States, particularly, is the fact you could have class sizes, which are just too large for one teacher to handle. You have class sizes, sometimes many, 40 pupils per teacher. And you pour all the money in the world, and all the equipment and everything else, you know, you lose the class size. You're not going to get a quality education. And I think one of the things we just happened in the past, we put a lot of money into these school systems in the inner city. And each time we do it, unfortunately, I think the teachers should be taking that salary. Because if you look at the teachers increasing their salary, but if we don't reduce the size of the classroom, no matter how much money we pay our teachers, we're not going to get a quality education for our children.
But, Mr. President, I think the move trying to say, separate some of it, would be the fact that the whole issue should be taken into perspective. If we just look at busing, that's one end. Or if you take a look at the classroom, that's another. So if you take a look at housing, that's another. So that is before, it should be formed in such a manner whereby that all of these aspects come in. Then give the president a clear picture of exactly what this setting is all about. And then you can make some real decisions on how you can cure the whole ill. Because it's like a sore in your arm. And a sore, and you cure it here with some strong medicine, you might take away something on the other side, and that arm will go there too. This is what we've done in the past, and sort of a piecemeal type thing. But if you look at it from the standpoint of the total picture, classroom, busing, good education, good teachers, class sizes, all of these things make up the good community that you want to live in. And including the law and order back to San Fernando we go. And that's what it's all about, is whether or not we're going to attack the whole problem. And we can get away from the busing, because it would be hit, but it would not be the thing that you might see.
One of the most encouraging developments that's taking place in this country today is to see the kind of thing that's happening in San Bernardino County out in California, Miami County out in Ohio, of where communities are taking the leadership in terms of beginning to provide a range of housing options, not only for minorities, but for low-income individuals. And from a long-range point of view, there isn't any question in my mind that that kind of movement is going to have the most positive impact on the future of education. And it seems to me that even though the federal government cannot require this, cannot mandate, that we have an opportunity to provide greater encouragement and assistance to that kind of movement, because this is where people feel that everybody is carrying the load, really the concept of fair share in terms of housing opportunities for low-income and minority group individuals. And I certainly hope that we could encourage more of this kind of thing.
That's really made a point. About quality, high quality of education and certainly studying that the one who was emphasis on it. And that is that what we're talking about here is forcing professional accountability to turn to the school system of a physical setting that education occurs, education process occurs in. It's the feeling on our part that teachers don't always feel at our elementary don't always feel accountable for the results the children are in fact educated. And that we've a combination of the whole teacher tenure policies and so forth have relieved teachers of the responsibility of being accountable for the end product of their students. And, all of us sitting here are products of the fact that poor children can secure quality education and a poor city. I came from a very poor neighborhood, but I had good teachers.
Absolutely.
I had teachers who cared, and they measured their success, and the school system measured their success. So I thought I could reap teachers, so much of this discussion, of quality education loses sight of the fact that we have not required special educators and special school administrators to be accountable for the teaching process. And we make this point here. Now, Austin has one of the nation's most failed, and Bob Wheeler, who we talked to, and he was very responsible for this item here in
letter. And the point that he makes, it's being made more and more by Dr. Ken Clark and all the rest of it, that unless we are prepared to go beyond just the question of segregation in its normal setting and look at the responsibility of the school system to educate our children, that we are going to be missing a major element that will make this successful. So we think that the point that we're making in number three is absolutely important to the long-range solutions to the problems of the children.
Let me say something with the discussion.
First, I think the most of you, I've often said this to Bob Brown around here, most of you deserve, I would say, purple hearts for beginning to have to take, do take from the friends. Who thinks basically that they're one figure on the pound, so why don't you get out of this conversation, et cetera. I'm very grateful for the fact that you have stated that you're going to help. That I think you have recognized that we're trying our way. I just do the very best you can with it, and I'll want to say that. And this issue is, from a political standpoint, is an easy solution, not a solution for the reason that's a solution is that while it hasn't changed, because the recent division of the Senate, 50-50 basis, shows that it will not pass, that it's clear cut, it's simple. That's what came. It would raise hell by pushing what's called the black vote. And there is, of course, a black vote, a white vote, a black vote, and so forth. And I don't think that kind of is pushing a great part of it. It polarized and so forth. But it would grab the issue, it's clear cut, and the rest. And calls like the good man, decent man, like Griffin, and the rest. Or, let's say, Ray, Baker, Brock, and so forth. Now, however, the problem with that approach as of this time is, I've already implied, is that advocating a point of view which appears to have relatively little chance for success is not dealing with the nation that's created. I mean, it's just talking to them, to put it right. It's advocating a point of view that has little chance of success. This is called pragmatic politics. And it's supposed to be bad, but I believe it. But advocating a point of view that has little chance of success, they can hear on the issue, but it doesn't get any action. Now, on the other side of the coin, there is the extreme that many take. We should just do nothing. The idea being that, let this thing be handled according to nothing at all. The difficulty with that position is not just a political difficulty. The difficulty is that if you do nothing, inevitably the emotions that have been set forth, turned loose as a result of this issue, are inevitably going to lead something. And that something could be bad. So what we're trying to do is to find something to do to be right. Something to do to be right. Not progressing. Something that will probably not satisfy either extreme. Now in doing so, we're not going to make much. As I said, I have made a decision. I'm going to meet again on Friday. I'm going to study it over the weekend. Sometime before the end of the month, I'll have to come out with my kids. Believe me, it's a lot of work that goes into it. I'm going to make the necessary work. The point about I'm going to be guided by, the reason I want to get your, I want to hear you express it, I just didn't want to see it in cold words. But I'm going to be guided by some tools, Kevin. That is, what is the right thing to do here, the right thing from the standpoint of using the issue and getting it in the right perspective. Educating the people to what it really is. And that means not considering just doing something for
purely the purpose of having an issue of the election, or doing nothing for the purpose of having an issue of the election on the other side.
It seems pretty either way.
There's a new something, there's a new everything school, that's a constitutional amendment now. There's a do nothing school, that's legal law, that's the courts decide, because they all do all right, so. And then, in between, there's the duty, the right thing school, not really the right thing, I question sort of often those, there are these people who say, do everything now, or do nothing now. And the point is that we don't live in a vacuum. We live in a situation where something is going to happen. And under these circumstances, it's our responsibility to provide leadership, for as nearly as possible what is right, what's going to serve the objective that we all want. Quality education, desegregated education, dealing with these problems that you mentioned. So that's why this is such a painful process, and I'll be just, I listen to the people, and I'll be here from again, thank you, the constitutional amendments, and I'll have to have a consideration. But on the other hand, when I look at that vote in the Senate, that's something that concerns me also, so you should see my point there. But from a political standpoint, I emphasize again, keep the constitutional amendment, and say, look, whatever we do, if we do anything, it's not going to satisfy what's called the black leadership. Get to recognize it. But my point is that as far as my decision is concerned, it has to live not just for those who are in leadership positions, but it has to live in terms of, did we take a very difficult, controversial, and explosive issue and handle it in the right way? People who want to make some progress. Let me come to the point that I guess all of you are particularly on. We have received very little credit for what we have done in regard to in 3 years on ending the dual school system in the town. Now when I say ending it, I don't mean it's perfect. But it does not go unnoticed that there are, as you all know, that there are more black students South to go to majority white schools now in the North at the present time. It doesn't go without notice that Southern state after Southern state, this has happened now. Why didn't we get much credit for it? Well, one of the reasons we didn't get much credit for it, we did it in the right way. We did it down the aisle all over the place. We could haul people and raise hell with us. But we took people, Southerners, many Southerners who and just a grin there. Some of you remember, I got into that Oval Office and I talked to him. I said, now look here, I know you didn't support the Brown decision or the education position. I know that you think this is on the it is the law of the land. And I've got to count on you as people who believe in the law to help out. And George went down to work with all of our people that, not perfection, but at least we moved. We did some good, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Now, in this instance, what I'm trying to do is to find something that will not exacerbate the issue, you see, heat it up, but something that will put it in perspective and handle it in a decent and honest way. What I hope is that as we work something out, that it will be something that those here in this room can see is if we're approaching it the right way. I hope we can. I can't promise you that let me say, I said this before you came around. I said, after reading your statement and so forth, I said, I thought you laid it on the line very effectively. And I said, put yourself in the position of a black, leader class black in America. And you were all in that class. After all, you're responsible for a position for business in America. People who feel that it is their responsibility to provide leadership for the people of their background. What are they going to do? Well, you've got to be out front. You can't be out there dragging your feet because you've got a lot of people, as you all know, people that haven't had their education and so forth. They may just say they may not approach this problem in a rational way.
exactly what they have to do.
That's what you've got to bring to it. So consequently, the position that you take, and it's a reason we want to get you someplace, because it's, you are in this administration, you've been extremely courageous to stay with it, but you kind of drain from people that say that you are a notable leader. But we appreciate the fact that you have participated, that you have given us your input. It does represent not only yourselves, but people that you talk to. Because I didn't like the impression at the beginning of this, but he said that all that I was talking to or hearing from were, you know, like they mentioned a moment ago, that was just quite many. Well, it's true. I mean, of course, Bob here, he talks to me sometimes, but I don't, let me tell you, he talks up to. But my point is that we wanted this, we want to have this input, but we need it. And of course, as you know, I do talk to other members. For a lot of clients, these people that are late and so forth, I guess I'm literally considered that to be Uncle Tom's and not all of them.
No, or I have great respect, great following, and that's what
we have. Well, we have respect for that. So I hope you will remember that as I continue to study this weekend. Oh, this weekend, input is there. I'm considering it. I'm also considering the input to let me and see who is there. There's Tower was sitting there. Let's see. Baker was sitting there. You can do the national. Bobby Christian was sitting here. The beautiful man, just for us. And they laid it out there. And they're a very honest man. They're decent men. They're not to. I know those fellows are what you call racist. I mean, they got supporters of George Wallace. And they said, God, I believe in the Constitution. That, so I heard their viewpoint. I heard your viewpoint. It says, no, that's the wrong approach. But what I've come up with, though, I can assure you, be one that I, as I make it, I think will fail. It's not going to satisfy those that want to go very far. And this is going to satisfy those who want to not. Because that's the way I approach the problem. Because I think doing nothing would leave a vacuum that would be filled by less responsible people. I don't want that to happen.
Mr. President, I wonder if I could try to put myself into your position and look at it from the point of view of trying to be fair and understanding the political reality that you must face. And I was thinking that perhaps the route to go, being a political realist, would be somewhat along the lines of Scott Mansfield now. And adding to that, a suggestion such as the one that's made in recommendation one of this paper, which would set up a group of responsible citizens from various walks of life to really study this subject and to give you the kind of input that you need, I think, to make further decisions in this area. As we said at the outset, we certainly are not educators, but we know the field inside out as everyone, but I think that others who are more expert than probably any of us sitting here should be called together to try to do something positive. And I would think that by doing that, along with taking a line on the approach to something similar to the Scott Mansfield Amendment, would probably be the right thing in justice and a correct thing politically.
Well, we're going to continue our business on the market for kind of taking up the heads. We've got the president's school, the commission on school. Bobby, please say it. I appreciate all of you, but the situation
taking the consideration of studying the balance of this week.
Over the weekend, David, that's when I...
I don't know whether I'm going to finish it,
but I certainly, on the first of April, I've got to go.
I don't want to be that, but I've got to get this out of the way.
So that, so whatever leadership we do provide will be useful at the time. So I can show you what I'm going to do now. It will affect the floor of the time.
I got you been down there.
Yes, I was down there about 2 weeks ago. President Brady is a basically like Paul Jackson are both making two governors Humphrey second both lines.
Nothing to do with I'm supposed to do that.
There's the guy rather good time.
Not only because of Florida, where the issues are being discussed, right?
Yeah,
I was out in California and Nevada. And even in smaller cities, people are discussing it, even out there.
So, and the thing that I want to be with you is that we didn't stress on our paper the whole question of hope and aspirations of the minority community, I mean, both Black and Spanish speaking community, right?
A lot of dialogue with the brown community in California.
Good.
But again,
all of you that we can go over the time. Latin America be divided, look upon themselves. I know that's very tough in California.
Yeah, that's
very tough. The thing that they were stressing with the kind of discussions that we had was that as whether or not we have leadership that this is a continuing progress, or whether there's going to be some negative leadership. As we alluded to in the paper, far different set of issues, maybe the action focusing decisions for you, positive leadership is on both of us, and bring to us, because just as soon as those in the Black and brown community become convinced that a set of negatives are going to continue to operate or operate, and those who are apostles of the violence, those who are apostles of avoiding use of the system, they would have a field day in being able to convince people that we should use other than appropriate systems for bringing about change. And the potential for tremendous, and so far we've been able to move positively under your leadership because that people believe that you're moving in a positive fashion. I just wanted that to continue because you've done a fine job in putting us in the posture of bringing this forward to bring us together so we can move forward together. And people are really counting on that. And I just want you to know that especially the Black and brown community are depending upon that. And I just feel remiss if I did not share that with you.
President, on that point, there's a large story running this morning that the President's made a decision that he's not going to go for constitutional amendment of this and that. It's a dope story. I think it's awfully important that as much as you might want to go out and try and get reassurance along this line this morning, that it's very important that the President be allowed to preserve all his options.
So, yeah, one of the reasons for which you must do that, if you will, is that I have to be
or McGregor will lose his job, I understand.
And I've got to meet with the people that want to give their argument on that. If somebody didn't meet with on the constitutional amendment thing again. So if I say before I determine that I decided not to do it, then I understand I've given you some of the arguments. That's why I didn't. But it's one of the matters that is under consideration.
All options are still open.
And that you made, you can say you made a strong argument against me.
Don't you say what you said?
Okay.
But you feel I did, because I understand. Otherwise, I'll have to catch y'all on Saturday.
So what do you mean? That is what we ever got down to.
Well, thanks for your help.
Okay. Where are your... You'll say it best.
Take a second. She gets it.
All set.
She gets it.
So, apparently, I understand we're working.
Well, we've not settled out, and, we've done some studying. Well, I think we can rely on, the affirmative, and that's because we have Father McManus, now Bishop McManus. You see, Father McManus, when you and I worked on the schools before, now he's Bishop McManus, and I can assume that there's a certain amount of training that's going on.
Maybe others also, if I know, the way he spoke, he may become the first American pope.
Well, I like that.
That's fast, though.
I don't think that any of us feel that we've done anything but put in our time. Well, from our own personal standpoints, we don't, I think we should say we don't think we've put before you the greatest document that will ever be written. We think, however, that within the context of the conditions that exist in the country at the present time, the proposals that we are making are proposals that deserve consideration. We've had a great deal of help. We've spent some of your money in order to get...
spent some of the deficit on
Well, in terms that are generally considered money nowadays, it was not extravagant, I believe, and it was an attempt really to get a baseline from which to form some judgments. These reports, as they were prepared by outside people and some by inside members of the staff, add up to a great stack of materials, which they always do, I guess. And we think will be of some use to Mr. Richardson, Sid Marlin, and their associates over a period of time, because they do consolidate some of the work that's been done. There's been very little new research. We felt from the beginning that there was such a massive amount of research anyway in these areas that the thing for us to do was to try to pull out of the research that had already been done a composite of what then could be regarding this guidance by the members of the commission. This is essentially what our work, which costs money, did. And from that, we have this report. It's, I suppose, as small a report as you've ever received from the commission.
I read it function. The summary is longer than the report.
There's another thing here, which isn't too bad. There's an inspection sheet that you probably noticed in there, which has the virtue of preventing you to respond if you're asked questions in this area, which I don't think you'll be, but I think you'll have somebody who's more familiar with the figures here than you are to give you answers. But, it's a useful thing. Now the proposals that are in the report do involve some expenditures. But the principal thing I think you should have in mind is that even before the judicial decisions, which have driven very hard in this direction, our own commission was heading toward a recommendation for state funding of education. And this is in here. The responsibility for the raising of funds, for the allocation of funds within a state, should be the responsibility of the state. Now, there would be various sources of those funds. The state could raise most of them. The federal government could contribute some, but would do so through the state, and the state then pumps the money through to the local district. We are strongly of the opinion that there should be a local component possible up to about 10% of the money that the states provide from other sources, meaning their own and the federal. But there should be a local component, which, if the people in the school districts, favor taxing themselves extra in order to provide some additional quality education, that they should be permitted to do at least that much. There is a question, I think, under some of these legal decisions, as to whether that would be permissible. We don't know. We do recommend it, and we recommend it on the basis that these schools have been close to the citizens. And citizens up until now have felt pride in their schools, and it's partly because of that that we want to retain as much of that as we can. We also, and I know that this is rather close to your heart, we also say that even though the money may be essentially raised under the direction of the state and really control of the state, that the, once the money is allocated to the school district, that the school district be given a maximum authority to act in the use of those funds. In other words, to control of their schools, except for the actual job of money raising and money allocating. Now, you can't say that that's complete control, because the state will have to have some guidelines. But if you grant, as we do, that the financing of the schools needs to go to the state for the reforms that I think clearly are indicating, that the courts have pointed out, you are well aware of, within the necessity of establishing state guidelines, there should be a maximum flexibility for the school districts to run their own things. This is not set matters for curriculum, set matters of employment staff, dismissal staff, so on. Nobody's going to tell them how to run their schools in those directions, which are very fundamental. We have a proposal for a urban plan, which is on top of the basic education proposals. And this is to try to meet the necessities of the inner city schools, which seem to provide a special problem. I think we would have to have, in all of our studies, we don't have clear answers as to what's required. But nevertheless, it seems that we've got to move against that problem, and we've got to try to discover. This is one of the things we think the federal government has a right to participate in. Federal government, from our standpoint, is not the basic money raiser for education, but it should be a source of money to encourage experimentation, to provide particularly for special types of reform, which may be very difficult to get out of state funds until they are approved to some degree by some experimental. And we have one part of this which you should be aware of, which is that we are recommending that the country move toward the beginning of education at age 4. There seems to be in the various studies that have been made, there seems to be quite a good deal of evidence that the money put against the earlier years is considerably more resultful than a comparable amount of money put against later years, when, let's say, the problems have almost been set.
You probably must have read the statement where I might answer the child under 5.
Now, we're not saying everybody at age 4 should go to school. No, we're not saying that.
There are various ways to.
You see, you have that there will be presumably an expansion of daycare centers
over a period of time. The daycare centers have been custodial to a considerable extent, but there's no reason why there can't be some education component in those. Also, it's possible that the 4-year-old education should be optional with the parent, because you have some homes where the education provided at age 4 in the home is probably better than you can hope to get if you did it in a formal way, or at least in a cognitive. So we aren't saying that you've got to build new classrooms for all this, Mr. President, but nevertheless, we think that the information the country should be toward providing some education at the earlier age of 4. There's still, of course, quite a few parts of the country where you do not have kindergarten, too, I'm sure you know. And of course, we would favor filling holes in. We have proposals on non-public schools.
Those will help not be ready for about 3 weeks.
Well, there will be a special report on that. We have a section in our own report.
I see.
And we should have. And
you open the problem.
Yes. Well, and we put in those things which the commission as a whole has recommended. The thing you have to say, which isn't a very satisfactory thing, is where constitutionally permissible that these things should be done. Now, there are things which have been granted as permissible, such as what they call child benefits first. This is the way they refer to them. This is nutritional, health services, examination, school transportation, some textbook and library book loans and so on. Now, those, of course, our commission has recommended to be continued. These other proposals will have to be tested against the judiciary. In those, we simply recommended that governmental agencies consider additional forms of assistance in non-public schools, tax credits, tax deductions for tuition reimbursement, and others. But what is going to be possible here, we don't know. But I'd say
on that point, you say we should consider tax credits or some of that sort of thing. Is that true? There, of course, you might have constitutional problems.
Yes, fine.
But it is just the general rule of the commission of that kind of approach. Supported or there's some division.
We had some top legal advice, for example. The commission feels that there should be encouragement for the continuation of a non-public school element in our school system. Now, this is contrary to what came out of the New York State study. They were going to go rubber on this, but our commission, I suppose, yes. But our commission feels as if the continuation of non-public school portion, whether it is church-related or non-church-related, or a combination as it is, should be continued. And therefore, it's felt that there should be exploration of ways to try to help this from the financial standpoint. I believe it's fair to say that the problem is not solely financial. There are problems also, and I think this is largely within the Roman Catholic area, but maybe also in others of the the church unit. Partly that the ethnic groups have moved out of cities, for example. These ethnic groups have had a considerable part in the establishment of these in the first instance. So that a change in patterns of living have led to changes which have been difficult. There are also think there are some problems within the church itself of the dedication of individuals to the church and its teachings, that there, just as there seems to be in most all of those things which are spiritual, some kind of a letdown in the degree in which people appear to be to fall out. But nevertheless, I think there are forecasts of really quite substantial decline in this.
Of course, the demand could be affected to a great extent by the quality of the supply.
Quality and the availability of funds. So this it is difficult, I think, to keep these things separate. But we've had good studies made. We've had studies made by good people. I think, based on perhaps the base question whether they're good study, but they were made by people like those at Notre Dame, for example. We did not didn't go outside of the church for these. And whether these turned out to be good studies or not, the people that were employed for the purpose were regarded as very evil. And they did raise some questions quite outside of the money area. I don't want to overuse your time here. We got in those couple of areas which will be probably of interest. We are saying that the states think in terms of reorganizing school districts to the extent that this is possible as a means of diverse socioeconomic groups and races. One of the early discussions we had on this business of quality of education opportunities led to a determination by the commission that quality of education, thinking particularly from the standpoint of preparation of youngsters for living in our society. I think the equal education opportunity was enhanced, is enhanced, by having in the school for the experience of the child there. Very economic and social and racial groups. This is something which we regard as favorable in the whole education context. We did not take a final position at all on this matter of busing.
That came sort of a little after.
Yes, a little bit. That's right. It was really
the rather bad infection now.
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Well, you have an answer. I'm glad to have it.
Well, all right, I'll be back. I don't think we do. I think we can say the most important thing we think that would be done in order to defuse the busing business is trying for what we've been trying to do in this report, which is to make quality education available at whatever school you attend. This, I know, has also been a position that we've expressed frequently, but if you didn't have the transport,
that, of course, is the thrust of your report. Very good. I don't mean leading us to busing issues to say that every child in America should have an equal opportunity for quality education.
That's right.
Correct?
That's right. That's
that should be it. Now, we haven't stated that. Of course, we have a separate problem. What affects quality education? Certainly, brown supported education, public, legally segregated education, impairs quality education. Now, today, there are many who believe, not all, but many, believe that excessive transportation
impairs quality education. And so you have to take these two and try to put them together. I must say we're wrestling with it. It's been just recently kept you waiting. I had an hour's meeting scheduled, an hour, 15 minutes.
But you do not address this, you address it, as I get rid of it, just tangentially.
I think you have to say it that way. About the only statement you'll see in here on busing is one which points application, what we say, we refer to as uniform ratios, as being not the best way.
Not required, yeah, that's what I'm
saying. To undertake the integration problem, uniform ratios as far as students.
That's right.
See, there's been other, there's been some areas, I just told you, where the judicial decision has insisted on exact uniform ratios within each of the schools. And this seems unfairly to be carried much too far.
Twice as much, and I'm not exaggerating, to teach in New York City, because
not as well off as a teacher paid.
Shall we say a small town in Iowa?
Now, you tackle this problem, and there are some variations, or are we just going to go across the board on this side?
Well, I think this is one of the things.
Okay, it's part of the duty or something. What do you mean? If we start judging all these teachers and all these schools in terms of amount, how much per pupil? And believe me, they're probably, I don't take New York, I don't see that side of it there and so forth. I say the same about LA. But Marco, I don't hear the rest. Why is it that you say the test of a quality education is how much per pupil is spent? That is the test. It's one very important test, but there are many terrible schools in Pittsburgh because it's a real test. It makes a big difference. But if you look across the country, it depends on what the costs are and all that sort of thing.
You'll find us present in this report, as well as the other studies paralleling this report, take account for regional differences in any kind of a federal.
Can we get away with that?
Yes, sir.
Your states, like say, how are you going to rock a bar feel about that? It's a rational
difference between any reasonable man or woman would accept. That there are built-in differences which the federal government should acknowledge in any participation it may have. We have a proposal here on the cost of education index, Mr. President, which gives you some idea of the way in which we've approached it. We state would have to set the cost of education index for the various parts of the state. When it sets up its allocation procedures, and this is discussed within the report as something
good. Yeah, let me ask Secretary Conlon. You know, when you were governor, you had a very progressive educational program, but you had to vary it, did you not? You couldn't, in Dallas, for example, or Houston, you'd have to, the cost per pupil would evidently be higher than it would be, say, in Michigan. Is that true or not? Even within, of course, that's a big statement. I know in California, we could, the cost per pupil in Los Angeles City, would be inevitably a lot higher than it would be in the time I was growing up, Florida Linda. Because it just didn't.
There were tremendous differences within the state.
Even in New York State.
Yes.
And how did you work it out? Just
whenever it did work it out, actually, I think to everyone's satisfaction, the state paid approximately 80%, but there was a local enrichment that was provided for that a great many of the areas actually used that could afford to use. But when the Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965 came into being, federal funds were then used to try to supplement. The greater portion of it went to the schools that had the greatest problem in the standpoint of local financing.
How did you go to Maryland?
Well, we took it all head on.
You had basically a big city, but yours is
well, we took it all on a state basis, and we decided that the only way we could equalize the money needed for education was to have a procedure where we put through graduated income tax and took some of the additional money, that's about $120 million, distributed that, $100 million of that to the state, to the cities and counties on a basis of need primarily. We tried to do it in two areas, public safety and education. They were the only two areas we found that people would accept for taking money from one part of the state and spending it in another part.
What about two public safety?
Public safety and education. And so that we were able that way to fund a great deal more money to Baltimore City than we did to, say, Montgomery County or Baltimore County.
Or even Detroit.
It worked out that out of $100 million in additional money that the tax brought us, about $65 million went right into the city. The rest of it was divided among the 23 counties.
That's where you need it.
That's where we need it.
What I'm wondering is that if you come down on the side, as you have to, because of the recent court decisions on the side of a state, is that what basically you're suggesting, local enrichment then?
Just to up to 10%, we're saying, because there is, in fact, probably was having to do with initial trouble if you get beyond 10, and you may not even be permitted to get up to 10, because in effect, if you're going to be completely egalitarian in this, anything except the allocation on some sort of an equal basis, equal corrected in the way you're pointing out for the necessity, I would say, a cost of education index, anything except that would be regarded as in violation of the judicial decision. But we still recommend that this be permitted up to 10% because of what we think is the desirability.
Of course, that means that the two schools, school districts there, Beverly Hills and San Marino, they haven't come down.
Possibly.
The rich is there, do they? You know, they're very rich.
They're already in there. Teachers and facilities and all the rest of it.
But they're not complaining about that.
It's an issue at this moment unsolved and present, but it's your suggestion. Undersecretary Richardson's encouragement. We are starting at this time a national debate on these very issues. Open them up for consensus to examine what happens to San Mateo.
Yeah.
Economic debate $1,500 per child. But if you level up to San Mateo,
yeah,
it becomes totally impossible for the universe of education. If you level down, how much freedom and how much time remains for San Mateo to articulate with a uniform state park? Those are issues, and we don't yet have answers to recommend to you. We will have.
You'll have a massive problem. I think we have to realize that, and I'm not objecting to what you said, but I think you have a massive problem if you tell the people of Beverly Hills, San Mateo, and San Marino, or for that matter, the suburb of Dallas or Houston, or you can say, look here, you just aren't from now on going to be able to put all that money into your school.
But we have a provision.
Only 10%.
Well, we also have a provision that you do not spend less money in any district than you are currently spending.
That's the whole part of that. They have the state of school for a while.
That's right. But they wouldn't get to go up, however. The others presumably would gradually come up to that level. This would be the...
Yes. I was just going to ask the president, the cost of leveling up, many people have been talking about what may appear to be an impossible amount of money. We've been trying to examine what the cost of leveling up would be, and we have made a study in every state and every school district in the country. And just to give you some aggregate figures, if every state leveled up, say, to the 50th percentile, the total nationwide cost would be about $1.3 billion. If everybody tried to level up to the 95th percentile, the cost would be about $6 million. Now, the reason I mention this is a lot of people are afraid that the costs are going to be $20 or $30 billion, but we don't think it's going to be anywhere near that much. And this was a frame of reference figure. It's almost impossible to get too precise on the figure. But I think that would be quite a revelation.
Now, there was an enormous difference made for just 1% here.
That's true. But the cost of leveling up, there's not nearly as much as people think it is.
Well, I do want to express my appreciation to you and all of your service. Obviously, the school is getting the money more than we do, so
the report comes at a time in which there's greater interest in it.
Particularly its workload, that the chance for any
basic tax reform. This year, that's this year, the Congress is revolting, happening, that moment in play. On the other hand, time to think about these things is not when we have a deadline of 30 days. Whether it's going to be tax credits, whether it's going to be reform of the tax system, which I understand is we might not say how, but we should keep it around, perhaps required.
These are matters that is important, at least
underlined to all of us who are working on the project. And give us, we haven't yet, we don't have the answer.
I would like to conclude without telling you how gratifying it's been to me to work with the members of this commission. I didn't know these started out. I knew a few. I knew Wendell Pierce. I knew John Fisher. But I certainly didn't know the executive director. Because we employed him after we got underway. I knew Bill Salmstone. But the composition has been varied. You talk about that being a means of getting superior quality of education. This was true for the parents, because we had a quite diverse group of people who were turned out after a period of time to be quite willing to speak their minds. And I think really if you have a report here, which is an inequality, and guidance to your own associates, that it's because of the people that you had the good intelligence to appoint the first instance. And we've had a good time. I presume that you will now, or sometime soon, will discharge us from any further responsibility. I'd be glad to get rid of us, but
we'll provide a suitable certificate of readiness.
We won't even buy the frame. We'll keep your home.
We ask no more than the pleasure we've had out of doing the work. We're really quite grateful to you for giving us the opportunity.
Well, we are. It's very thoughtful of you to say that way. I guess your satisfaction must come from nothing revolutionary. Perhaps we all stretch a little faster than you. But the satisfaction must come to the fact that, and this would be very good satisfaction, I'm sure, as a result of your work, maybe one, we would hope maybe hundreds, maybe a few thousand, maybe far more children in this country get a better education. And I don't know, I think we could be more satisfactory to visiting people. Well, that's why I took the trip to Washington.
I agree.
A few other places.
Yes, we've done a fair amount of travel.
Yes. And debating late hours.
Well,
you work after midnight.
We work whenever anybody works to do the reading that he's required to do.
And if he does that after midnight, well, then that's what he does.
I find that.